Everybody, welcome back to the Indiscriminate News Network. It's Jason. Today we're going to be talking about retaliation, gas crisis, what if Russia won the Cold War, China responding to U.S. delisting companies, and also what companies are actually blocked by China. I know I talked about this before, but I like bringing this up just to share that with you. And China's ridiculous number of new COVID cases. First off, we're going to start off with Iran. Iran vows to retaliate against enemy action 1 year after Soleimani killing. The head of Iran's Revolutionary Guards, General Hossein Soleimani, has vowed to respond to take any enemy actions during the visit to a strategic Gulf island amid tensions with the U.S. Soleimani was speaking on Saturday on the eve of the first anniversary of the U.S. killing of top Iranian military commander Qasem Soleimani in a Baghdad drone strike. We're here today and evaluate to be assured that our powerful capabilities at sea and enemies who sometimes we boast and threaten. He inspected troops stationed at Abu Musa Island, accompanied by Revolutionary Guards Naval Commander Rear Admiral Alireza Tangrasiri. Wouldn't that be crazy if they're like on the island there doing their thing and they get another drone strike and he like blows up? That'd be nuts. I wonder if Iran would actually do something. I know they launched missiles at like an abandoned U.S. base last time in retaliation. I wonder what they would do this time. I wonder if they're actually planning. I wonder how close they're actually, the U.S. is to like sending another drone strike and just blowing them up while Trump is in office, you know, doesn't have really anything to lose at this point. All right, gas crisis in Pakistan intensifies. Citizens face hardship. So the persisting gas crisis in Pakistan is intensified, adding to the woes of citizens that are forced to turn to more expensive methods to compensate for the gas shortage. The gas shortage in Karachi has domestic industrial consumers as well as tandoors, tea houses, and hotels worried. Adding to the crisis, the severe cold weather has also led to a reduction in gas pressure, suspension of gas supply, and residential areas. So low gas pressure is currently persisting in different areas of Quetta and Nawankhali. Meanwhile, Pakistan President Arif Ali held a meeting with industrialists at the Governor House in Karachi, said that he would take up the matter of the gas crisis with concerned ministers. Excuse me, sorry about that. President Avi assured the businesses community that they would receive an update with the root cause of the gas crisis and the government strategy being devised to deal with the situation. Can you imagine living in your house and it's freaking cold as heck and you went to go turn on the heat and nothing comes out? A little hiss. You're like, what the? Man, the little things you like take it, you advantage of. All right. Okay. This is an article from the National Interest. Could Russia have won the Cold War? If the American system has proven less resilient to the economic and social pressures, then the United States might have given up on the Cold War during the 1960s. So the reality of the failures of state planning makes such an outcome unlikely. In a different world where governments were more efficient at making decisions for citizens, perhaps, could the Soviets have won the Cold War? In retrospect, Soviet defeat seems overdetermined. The USSR suffered from a backwards economy, an unappealing political system, and an unfortunate geography. I think that's huge right there, geography. But even into the 1980s, many Cold Warriors in the West worried that the Red Victory was imminent. We think of the Red Victory in two ways. First, the fundamental rules that the competition between the United States and the USSR had operated differently. And second, if Moscow and Washington had made different strategic decisions along the way. The idea of a social political rules that dictate how the world works runs counter to a lot of work in the social sciences. Still, certain social and political experience initiated the start of the Cold War, ran aground into the shoals of social and human capacity. If we imagine loosening some of these rules, then Soviet and American experiments might have been performed differently. Anyways, no. No, I don't think, maybe they could have, but I think they would have eventually collapsed. The problem with a country that's built like that and you give a certain amount of like a small percentage of the people astronomical amounts of power, Absolute power corrupts absolutely. And that eventually leads to the collapse of a society. Yes, we do have gigantic, powerful individuals here, but I think overall, if they do get too big, the United States does break them up, and there's a lot of them. And I think they are actually beholden, because of the way the economy works, they're beholden to the consumer. So they have to behave to a certain extent, right? Because if they don't want the consumer to turn on them, their business would evaporate like that. So it's like a balancing act that they have. So the consumer has absolute power in a capitalistic society at its heart. If you don't want to, if you want a company to fail, if you truly want a company to fail, you would stop doing business with them, right? Whereas if you're in a socialist country, they're gathering the taxes and just distributing the evenly, quote unquote, the wealth, which isn't really, because they're giving these certain individuals a huge amount of power. And then maybe they're given the authority to distribute that power. You think they're going to distribute it evenly? No. All right. So China responds to U.S. delisting 3 Chinese enterprises. The United States Act of, this is from China.org, by the way. The United States Act of abusing national security to suppress enterprises is inconsistent with market rules and will weaken the confidence of all parties in the U.S. capital market. This is not my opinion. I'm reading it. Just so you don't, whoever's listening gets pissed off at me. A spokesperson for Chinese Ministry of Commerce said Saturday. The spokesperson made the remarks in response to the New York Stock Exchange announcement Thursday to delist China Telecom Corporation, China Mobile LTD, China Unicom. The U.S. act of abusing national security and using the state power to suppress China enterprise is inconsistent with market rules and goes against the logic of the market, said the spokesman. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to roll into list of companies that are banned by China, that is owned by the United States individuals. Number 1, Google. Number 2, Byte. Number 3, Facebook. Webtoon. Crunchyroll. Wikipedia. Netflix. Microsoft, partially. Blogspot banned. Instagram banned. Twitch. Twitter. Tumblr. Pinterest. Pornhub. That's a bummer for a lot of people over there. Sorry. Just kidding. It was a joke. So, Imgur. WhatsApp, partially backed, Medium, Dailymotion, BBC, Quora, Indeed, New York Times, Vimeo, Guardian, Slideshow, DeviantArt, Chinese Google Maps, Washington Post, so on and so on and so forth, henceforth, etc., etc., et al. Even the Cantonese Independent Magazine ranked 21,191,422 is banned in China. So does China have any grounds to, complain if the United States is blocking companies? I think probably not, right? Okay, everybody, thanks for listening. This is Jason with the Indiscriminate News Network. We talked about retaliation, gas prices, kind of what Russia run the Cold War, and China responding to U.S. blocking some companies from doing business with them. Okay, take care, and you'll be soon. Thanks, bye.